head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome into a very special Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding, here for my 180th consecutive week. It's a lot of fun. Had a great time going out and getting interviews this week. And I have in the studio a special guest who is going to be my co-host for a while, Connie Willis. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be here. Nice studio, too. I like it.
It's all cool. We just did a my very first Facebook Live thingy.
That's right. We did it together on my Facebook. I've got a bunch of pages and groups, you know, on Facebook, but we did it on my Connie Willis personal page.
Okay, so look that up. You'll be getting a lot of new friend requests, Connie, I think, in the next 5 minutes. But you know, we're going to go on in the show. Later in the show, we're going to find out all about you and your background and all that. But, you know, I'm going to go through the regular show the way we always do it. And one of the first things we do is thank our sponsors for participating in the show. Passport Health Plan has been with me from nearly the very beginning of this journey. And my friends at the Eye Care Institute down here on Story Avenue in Butchertown are sponsors of the show. Really appreciate their help in putting the show together. You can give them a call at 502-589-1500 if you'd like to get an exam, or if you want something more complicated like LASIK, which Connie has had LASIK.
I've had it. It's wonderful. I need to get a tweak, I think they say, after so many
years. You are wearing
years.
Glasses now.
I know. You got to have the reading glasses at one point, but I'm told that you can get a tweak, so I'd like to talk to your guys about, you know, if that's the case.
Well, we can set you up down there. It's a real good place. They're very friendly folks. I just got my contacts refilled this week. It was hassle free and, you know, not free, but reasonably priced. All right. So it's the holiday season and a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff going on in the sports world. I'll tell you about my first guest is going to be Tom Leach, the voice of the Wildcats.
Go Big Blue.
I know. I'm not really a big fan of the Big Blue.
I got to go now. See ya. Well, I'm a graduate.
Well, that's one thing I was telling Tom. I said, one thing you have to do, we were talking about UK and U of L fans, I said, one thing you have to do no matter what is to be a fan of the school you went to.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I hate these people like that are U of L students who are UK fans.
Oh,
that's
no,
like the worst
the
thing to be.
No, they're the best.
That's the worst
they're
thing
the best.
You could
they're just,
possibly
you know,
be.
They just are. They can't get to, you know, Lexington, so they just have to do it here. But they love, you know, blue. You gotta, you know, we gotta back those people up.
No, we don't. We can respectfully disagree on that.
Exactly.
And
that's what's good, by the way, of U of L UK fans here in Louisville and all across the state. We still get along, you know. We
not
love,
all of them.
Well, we do love, that's true. We still love cooking out with each other and getting, you know, on each other and joking with each other. I mean, we're not killing each other over it.
Well,
I say that because I used to live in Philly, and in Philly, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. And in Philly, if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, you don't tell anybody because people have showed up in alleys no longer breathing, so just that's what I'm saying. It's really cool here in Louisville.
All right, well, we're going to get into that a little bit later in the show, and we're going to talk more in depth with Connie, who has a massive cool history of radio and TV work that we're going to get into. But first we're going to talk to Tom Leach. I went down to the Louisville Forum, which is a monthly event that goes on down at Vincenzo's Restaurant, and it was a really great gathering. It was Tom was on a panel with Tony Vannetti and with Ken Spencer of WHS, both of whom have been guests on this show in the past. And I was just looking for a different perspective, and I got it from Tom Leach, who I met way back when I actually lived and worked in Lexington in the 80s, and before he was the voice of the Wildcats. But now he's got a great story. I love doing the interview, and I think you'll like it too. And Connie and I will be right back after you hear from Tom Leach.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
And I've just finished listening to Tom Leach and others talk about the big game next week. Tom, it's the big thing going on in town. What do you think as we go into the game?
Well, it should be a very close game. And the fact that it's on Louisville's home court makes it tougher for any opponent coming into there to play. Kentucky certainly had the upper hand in the rivalry for a while now. Louisville's going to have more experience in this game. Kentucky's probably got more overall talent, more draft picks, that kind of thing. So, it's the talented youth versus the experienced vets, and so that's kind of the storyline to the game. And as we were taping this, so focused on Kentucky and North Carolina preparing for that I haven't looked that deeply into the specifics of the matchups and the numbers for Kentucky and Louisville. But I would think it will be. It's always a great atmosphere around the game. It's kind of, we were talking about it at this event at the Louisville Forum. It's an odd time being on a Wednesday night during Christmas week, so maybe that changes it a little bit. I like it on a weekend afternoon, a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon. But there's always going to be a buzz when Kentucky and Louisville play.
And I hear, I just heard the early line on is that the Cats are favored by 5. So, I think a lot of Louisville fans think it's an uphill battle against Kentucky. It's just so much talent up there.
Yeah, Kentucky is very talented. I think these games give you a good, from the Kentucky side, a good read on where a young team is as the season moves on. About a month from now, they'll play Kansas. And so I'm going to be interested to see how much better Kentucky looks in the games against Carolina and Louisville than they did against UCLA, which was the first big test. We thought Michigan State was going to be, but they're so young that I think they were a little overwhelmed. But normally you have that game in November, then you have one in early December, then you have Kentucky and Louisville somewhere in late December, and then now you've got this Kansas game in late January. And so about every 3 to 4 weeks, you see them tested to the max again, and so that's when you find out what you really have on the Kentucky side.
Well, Kentucky, like this game and like all sports, you never know, you're surprised. The football game, Louisville was, what, a 20-something point
26, favorite? 7, 26 8, something like favorite. That, 4 touchdowns.
It's got to be one of the biggest upsets you've seen.
Yeah, biggest one in this series, I think, certainly. Kentucky was the underdog 2 years ago when they came down here and nearly pulled off the upset, but they were a much bigger underdog this time with how well Louisville had played during the season, and then having the turned out to be the Heisman Trophy winner in Lamar Jackson. So first time Kentucky had ever beaten a player that won the Heisman in that same year. So it was a breakthrough win for Mark Stoops in trying to turn Kentucky's program around. He's thinking he's turned it around. Now he's trying to elevate it. And to do that, they needed a signature win. And this was the one that got all the Kentucky fans fully invested with the Kentucky football bandwagon. And it was huge, huge victory for Kentucky's program, and certainly the biggest upset in the series.
Well, I want to ask you, as a play-by-play announcer, certainly it's got to be more fun, an exciting game like that with a lot of big plays versus, we got beat 56-7.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Kaywood Ledford told me one time, you sound better when they win. And I have come to have a great appreciation for that line, that, the fans are going to get surly about everything, usually starting with the coach and the players, but they'll eventually work their way to the broadcasters if things go bad enough. And so life's always better when you're winning. It's just, but you, as a broadcaster, you just love good games to call. And really there have been some exciting games in the series, football and basketball. And so usually it's, if not always well played, it's certainly played at a high level of intensity, and usually, more often than not, a close game in both sports. And so those are the ones that you like best as a broadcaster.
Well, I want to ask you about as a broadcaster, because, to meet you and talk with you, you seem like just a regular guy. But I listen to the broadcast when Kentucky makes a big play, a big surprising play. You go high pitched, you get all excited.
Yeah.
I mean, is that?
It's just,
did you train yourself for that? Or
yeah, it's just. It's just. It is. It comes. It's just natural. It's just. Gus Johnson does games for Fox. He is probably more excited. Gets more excited than most. So I'm kind of along those lines. A lot of what I do from conducting myself and preparing for games, et cetera, comes from getting to work around Kaywood Ledford and Ralph Hacker and observing them and listening to things that, that they told me. But when it comes to style, I don't think you can try to copy somebody else. You have to kind of be who you are and let the chips fall where they may. And so I've just always, back if you've heard high school games that I did, it would sound the same way. And it would sound the same way, you know, I could get just as excited for Ashland and Paintsville in the Sweet 16 if it was a good game and an excitable sure. moment.
Well, I mean, let's talk a little bit about your background, because I happen to be in Lexington. I met you before you were the voice of the Wildcats. And, you know, the path to getting this one job is, it seems very difficult. I don't know if, just give me a little bit of an idea of how you came to work your way into this spot.
Yeah, I don't think I had a full appreciation for how narrow the target was that I was shooting for as I was coming up as a young person and especially young in a business. I grew up in Paris, Kentucky, which was about 20 minutes north of Lexington. Kentucky fan, so listened to Kaywood and Ralph doing the Kentucky games, and thought I was a love sports and realized I wasn't going to play it at a high level, and so then looking for other ways to stay around it, and I was interested in the media side of it, and coming up as I graduated high school in 79, so that was the same year ESPN started, so you okay. listened in the 70s to a lot of events. I listened to Ali fights on the radio and recaps of the fight with Foreman and Zaire on Mutual Radio. So you listened to more sports than you got to watch in those days, especially, you know, if you're following one particular team.
Sure.
So I was captivated by that. Went to work when I was 16 at my local station. Came to work for Ralph Hacker station in 84, thinking that, okay, Ralph's on the broadcast. If I get on this team, yeah. then maybe yeah, that could be my entree to
how young were you when you looked at and said, I could get this job? And, you know, this.
Oh,
this
I probably thought about it when I was about 11 or 12 in
okay.
middle school. That kind of was when the career goal was set. I've got a story somebody did on me in high school when I was working at the radio station. By that time when I was a junior in high school, and I listed that's the career goal. And again, not really appreciating how, you know, narrow it was just to get a play-by-play job, much less for one certain school. So I was fortunate. I worked for Ralph. He was a great mentor, and then I think I gained his confidence and Jim Host through that relationship, so that when the time came, and some of it's luck. I mean, I was 35 sure. years old when Ralph decided to give up football. If he had waited another 10 years, I might have been, you know, past the point of yeah. when they would have looked at me. So some of it's just timing. It was right, but I was fortunate in that regard.
Which is a question I have. Just with technology has changed so much stuff in our world. If you look ahead to whoever your successor is going to be, some years down the road, are they going to do the same thing? Are they going to work at a little radio station? And
probably not. They'll probably have been maybe a blogger.
Yeah, there you go.
Or something like that. But, you know, I think there's always, as far as I can see into the future, someone in this role. Mm-hmm. I think people might have thought that as more and more games came onto TV that there might be less of a need for the radio. I think it's actually gone the other way because you feel a closer connection to that person that's covering your team's games, game in and game out,
right.
as opposed to different TV guys from night to night. And so I think there's the connections maybe it's still very strong, but in maybe a little bit of a different way. And so I think that will continue as far as I can see into the future. But will that be over a terrestrial radio signal, or will it be over, you know, an app on your phone and it's an online broadcast that you're hearing versus something over the radio?
Right. And you're doing a lot of this. I just want to ask you real quickly about the business. You've parlayed being the voice of the Wildcats into a real business. You have a daily radio show, right?
Yeah, I had to. I was working for what was then Clear Channel, doing a show morning show and doing sports, and then doing the Kentucky games as just a independent contractor job. Okay. paid by the game and by the show. And then I got laid off in one of the many Clear Channel purges.
You too.
So I was caught out there. You know, the just doing the games wasn't enough to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. So I had started, fortunately, a production company to try to supplement some income. And yeah. So it went from being a supplementary situation to being, the main source of income. And so I started a website. I had a couple of good partners. Jim Host is one, and then a longtime friend who's an accomplished business person is the other partner. And they, fortunately, were very patient with me as I kind of found my way over the course of a few years to doing the daily radio show, and that's really clicked. My show and the Matt Jones show both started the same time on a small station in Louisville, and they've both shows have grown thanks to the passion of the Big Blue Nation.
Big fan base there. Last question I want to ask you about. You work with a lot of coaches. You got this big game coming up. From the outside, it seems like Calipari would be a dream to work with because he –
Yeah,
talks well, and he says what's on his mind. Mostly.
Yeah, and he's Cal's. People certainly know as an interview subject, he's going to go where he wants to go. You're not going to necessarily always lead him to where you want him to go. He's going to go where he wants to go. That's fine. He's a very accomplished speaker, very accomplished from a marketing standpoint, but very much a pro. He's never had been a problem to work with. Gives me access to watch practices, to help prepare for games, does the shows that we need him to do. Sometimes he's more insightful after a loss than after a win. I always say when he comes out to do the post-game shows for home games, he's kind of like a preacher, and there's that congregation that hangs around to get basketball signed and listen to him talk about the game. And so he's kind of like a preacher sometimes when it's just he and I in the locker room after a loss on a road or in the tournament, or even after a win, for that matter. But you're away from the crowd, he's sometimes a little more insightful as opposed to playing to the crowd when he's out there at home.
Sure. All right, Tom. Well, I got to wrap it up here, but thanks for taking a few minutes while you're here in Louisville.
Sure.
And
happy to help.
You Big Blue guys are always welcome here.
I always feel at home. My wife's family's from Louisville, and so they have, over the years, given me a great appreciation for how the battles fought on the front lines here in Louisville for the Kentucky and Louisville fans.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
All right, that's the game. If you want to listen to Tom Leach's call of the UofL UK game, it is December 21st, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Yum Center.
Go Big Blue. Oh, sorry.
Shh.
Go Big Blue.
Connie Willis is with me for the news segment of the show, and she is unfortunately cheering for the Big Blue. I'll balance her by cheering for the Big Red, but we're all cheering for Santa Claus, right? Which is coming. You were out shopping today, getting ready for this show. I don't tell me what you got me.
Not yet.
I don't want. I like to be surprised.
Okay.
And I do have a question for seasonal question for you. What is your favorite Christmas movie?
You know, I don't know. I mean, because, you know, it's like on Christmas, I think it's Christmas Eve, or is it Christmas Day, that it's the, the Toy Story all day long, right? No,
yes.
the Christmas Story, not the Toy Story. That's a whole
Christmas story,
one.
Yes.
The Christmas Story. Is that Christmas Eve
or
Christmas Day?
I mean, they're all on, it's like, that's the way technology has changed our world. We can watch any movie anytime we feel like it, right?
I love it. Where was it when we were kids?
But I still like to flip through the channels and say, oh, there's a movie I like, and I'm going to stay here for the next 15 minutes.
That's right.
Until I hear that line.
All on demand. But, you know, Christmas Vacation is good. I mean, that's hilarious. Those are all kind of, classic movies that you can just pull a piece out of here and piece out of there. But, I don't know. I'd like to find some new ones, too.
What about Elf? You like Elf? And that's
Elf is good.
That's one of my favorites.
It is a good one.
But the best of all time, the one that affected me a lot way back when I was a youngster and watched it for the first time, not when it came out, I want to remind you, but it's A Wonderful Life.
Oh, okay.
You know?
All right. That's still black and white, isn't it?
It still is. Yeah, I think there's a colorized version out there somewhere. But, you know, as Jimmy Stewart, he talks about, you know, what life would be like if he were not a part of it. You know, if he had not made it.
Right.
And there's actually just last week I saw what's become one of my favorite Christmas movies called Family Man. With Nicolas Cage and Tia Leoni.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. It's sort of the same idea, but anyway.
Oh, you're sentimental. That's very nice.
Yeah.
But let's
anyway.
Take it a step further. How about the TV shows? I mean, like I love the Ebenezer Scrooge story.
The Grinch cartoon.
And that's the
only one.
You're the Grinch one. that's like one that my mom absolutely.
That and Charlie Brown.
So funny. Charlie Brown, old one.
That's
I
what
love
Christmas
the
is all about.
Ones.
Charlie Brown.
What about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Santa Claus?
I love the
animated ones. I almost tried to interview the guy that did that. He's still alive. One of them's still alive. And
wow.
Oh, man, I hope I get to talk to him at one point.
Okay, well, one of the reasons I'm talking about all this is that if you are a big fan of It's a Wonderful Life, you can go to the Palace Theater this Sunday and see it on the big screen.
Excellent. Louisville Palace Theater.
Right.
Excellent. I haven't been there in a long time. That's a neat place.
See Clarence and the Angels and all that stuff.
Excellent.
And it's really a great opportunity for you. They do down at the Palace. Part of the thing about the show, Connie, is that I talk about things going on around town that I think people might be interested in.
Absolutely.
And as a former media critic, I talk about, you know, some things going on in the media. The big story this week, I don't know if you saw the headline, it just came out today that the state auditor's study of U of L, you know, the dysfunction over at U of L. I mean, this story is getting old because people around here have heard so much about what a bad guy James Ramsey is. And, you know, it's a real shame because Ramsey, for the first 4 or 5 years, he was like the best president we'd ever had. Then, I think he got greedy. He started thinking about what's in it for him. You know, like we don't hear on Christmas, what's in it for me? You know, so he built up this, the auditor's report came out and said there's just a bunch of mistrust. They said Ramsey got overpaid, like everybody else over at U of L, just making too much money. And it's just a black mark on things going on over at U of L. So, Connie, you also probably heard that speaking of U of L, that Lamar Jackson won the Heisman Trophy.
That I heard, absolutely. I got on HAS with Terry Miners the other day, and he was really talking it up as well. But I'm so excited about that because, you know what, whenever I listen, I'm a UK fan. And I actually watched U of L football this year. You know, I really like the coach a lot.
You see, up in New York, Lamar got his picture taken with John Calipari.
Yeah, I did.
It wasn't that something.
I think that's great. That shows you the love that we have. But every time, you know, he's a phenomenon, Lamar is. And when you would watch him, I got to tell you, you know how sometimes we take bad pictures? He doesn't take a bad picture. Anytime, any slow motion shot, any action shot, he looks like the Heisman Trophy itself.
Right, and so we've got some great shots of Lamar over at LouisvilleKY.com. I just mentioned my photographer, Bill Breimer, worked a couple games. Got some great shots of Lamar. How do you like his suit?
His suit?
Did you see the Heisman ceremony?
Oh,
the big red tux?
I did. That's right. I thought, what? I'm thinking Santa again.
Poor guy can't afford any socks either.
Yeah.
You know? that was an outstanding article. I saw an article about his suit and somebody over at U of L that helped him pick it out and everything. And I almost had this person on the show. You know, I love a good entrepreneurial story, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Love that.
So there's a guy in town that owns a little T-shirt business, and he's created a T-shirt with the front of the Lamar tux.
Right.
And with his Heisman and 8 on the back.
On the back, right.
They were just getting them in today. I was actually talking to the guy, and I think the company is called something with Yurts, Big Yurts, or something like that. So you can go online and probably find that. It's a very cool looking shirt.
It is cool.
And there's a toddler version and all that. So
that's cute.
So anyway, and then I just saw this story, and I thought it was I just thought it was funny, and it was weird. You probably don't follow, Connie, the football program as closely as I do. But when we beat Wake Forest, there was some sort of post-game fiasco involving scouting apparently some materials that the Wake Forest game plan was found in the U of L locker room or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
No,
you know, it's
know
like
that.
There was, like, they only beat him by 50, but, you know, there were still some accusations out there that Wake Forest was trying to figure out how their game plan ended up in the U of L locker room. And
so what's the story?
They solved
there?
The mystery.
Yeah.
The Scooby-Doo and the gang.
Some Scooby snacks help.
They solved it. It turns out, I can't believe this, that a radio guy, the Wake Forest radio, not the play-by-play guy, but the color guy, who is a former player and a former coach, was routinely giving opponents the Wake Forest game plan. Not just at just for the U of L game, but for other ones.
What?
Yeah. So they immediately fired him, put the kibosh on him. The coach made a statement. I think the current coach, like, I think this guy Tommy Elrod was on the staff of the previous coach. And the new coach came in and got rid of him, and he went to do the radio. And then he was still around the team all the time and doing all this, and he was lifting stuff and giving it to the opponents.
Why? What was he mad about?
I don't know.
There's a story there.
There's more to the story, I'm sure. But anyway, that was just an odd thing.
Gee, odd. That's not right.
That's really crazy.
That's not right.
All right. Well, Connie, you know, I also am involved in the food and drink industry. I do a podcast called Eat, Drink, Talk every week. And we had some big news over there. You ever been down to the Germantown Craft House? In Germantown?
No, I haven't been to Germantown for years.
Well, you ought to go. There's a lot of really cool things happening down there. But the Germantown Craft House opened this summer to much acclaim, and this week was announced to be a failure. I guess they closed it.
Oh.
And it's a fantastic-looking building, and the food wasn't that great.
Oh, man. The food's got to be right on.
So there's a lot of competition down there now in Germantown. If you ever go, you know, take a trip down Goss Avenue, there's a bunch of new restaurants and places. And the Craft House is going to, the same owners are just going to sort of do a do-over. They've come up with a new name. It's going to be called Devil's Do, different menu, mm-hmm. Lower pricing,
different
that kind
chef,
of thing.
Different chef? Or
probably a lot of stuff.
There you go.
Okay, I was looking. I got one more football note.
Oh, okay.
More football note on my list of notes here.
Okay.
I was so happy. I'm a Western Kentucky grad, and we've talked about how you should always be for your alma mater.
That's exactly right.
Western hired a new football coach, and I'm excited about it. He is from...
Is that your phone that went off?
That was my phone that went off.
I thought it was a train.
People can't see this, so you're not supposed to say anything.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
They didn't hear that.
The new Western Kentucky football coach is a guy named Mike Sanford, and he's from Notre Dame, and he is an offensive guy, which I was really pleased to see because the offense down there at Western has been very exciting for the last few years with Jeff Brohm as coach, and Jeff, of course, went to Purdue. So congrats to Western for picking an offensive guy, Mike Sanford, to be their new head coach.
Excellent. Now, is that the Hilltoppers?
The Toppers.
What,
the Tops.
What is
Let's
that
go
thing?
Tops.
What is that?
You obviously never been there.
Well, when you were at UK, what you did is on Thursday nights you would go to Eastern Kentucky and hang out.
What an awful place.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. No, at Western, it's on a hill. So if you're a student, you know, you've got to get up after those parties and climb up the hill to go to class.
Oh.
So you're a Hilltopper if you make it.
So that's what that blob thing is.
Big Red, the huge furry lovable creature. Was created while I was a student there, as a matter of fact.
Really?
And my boss actually wrote those words, the huge, furry, lovable creature.
I love it.
It's still used today.
And by the way, I'm just kidding with you because I know a lot of people, obviously, that went there, and they had a ball there, so I get you.
It's a fun place.
But it's
a fun place.
To crack on you guys because you all would crack on us anytime you
can.
Well,
yeah, you're all worried that Western's going to be like as good as you are in Kentucky.
It's happened.
We've beaten them. All right, so so last thing, have you got plans for New Year's Eve?
No, not yet. Actually, isn't that sad?
Yeah, you're available. Okay,
I'm available. Yeah. What's
okay.
Going
well,
on?
You
Tell
should go to
happening.
New Year's Eve. Last week on this show, we had a guest, Lucy Dalton, who was organizing this thing, and it's they're going to close off Main Street, and all these arts organizations and museums are getting together, and you can go down there for $8. And walk around and do all that stuff.
Lou Year's Eve?
Lou Year's Eve.
I love that.
We love a good pun, all right?
Yeah.
Do you know the show The Voice?
Yep.
Okay.
I do.
You remember the guy from Louisville named Dave Moyson? It was a big to-do.
Was that recently?
In the last year or so,
okay.
Yeah. Well, he's he lives here, and he's going to be performing down there, and that's going to be pretty
cool. Well, that's really cool. That's really cool. I had known somebody else that was on The Voice when I was living in Philly that made The Voice.
Wow.
So that's why I'm a little confused of who's who.
Yeah, I try not to watch those shows, but, you know, you do get famous if you get on them.
You do, and you hear about whatever city you're in. If somebody has made it from your city, that's when you can't help but hear about it.
Maybe you ought to try out.
I speak for a living because I cannot sing. If I could sing, I'd be singing. I think if you can sing, you can do anything.
Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, that's one thing. Speaking is important, and that's what we're doing on this show. And you did great on this segment as the guest co-host, Connie.
Thank you. Okay. Listen to the crowd roar.
Now I'm going to have to ask you to switch chairs, and you're going to go into the guest chair at the set at the Louisville.am studios, and I'll be asking you probing questions about your life.
Okay, is the music going to start, and then I better jump on my seat when it stops? Is that how this works?
We'll see how it goes, but anyway, we'll be back with my guest, Connie Willis, in just a moment.
Hey, I'm Dan Vonderhyde.
I'm Stephanie White.
We host a weekly podcast called 40-ish. It's a show about life at middle age.
I'm not 40 yet.
Well, you're getting there eventually.
I guess.
So each week we talk about something that applies to the life of a middle-aged person. We drop a little bit of wisdom in every episode, and we go out and talk to people about their experiences.
And we laugh.
And we laugh a lot. It comes out every Tuesday. Make sure you download.
Tune in.
And we're back on the Rusty Satellite Show. I am in the studio today with Connie Willis.
Woo-hoo! Yay.
Who has moved over from our co-host chair right into the guest seat.
And he did play music, and I did have to just sit as soon as the music ended. And thank goodness there was one chair left.
Well, as they say, enough about me. Let's hear about you. So, Connie, tell me a little bit about your career. You are from Louisville. You went, the classic Louisville question, what high school?
Fern Creek. I'm a Tiger.
Fern Creek okay.
Tigers. And by the way, I was bused a couple years. You remember when the forced busing was happening and people protested and all that kind of junk?
Yeah, I was involved in the first year.
Me too. So
you're not that old.
I'm not, but I was ahead in all the school grades, so there you go. That's
all right, so you decided to go out and make a career. You went to UK because you probably couldn't get into Western. Which is where all the broadcasting kids went.
Well, you're exactly right. Was it Diane Sawyer with Western?
I don't know about that, but a lot of the broadcasting program at Western is top notch. So.
I think it was her that donated a lot of money because I think she went there.
Hmm.
Dude, you got to know
we
that.
We need a fact checker on this story. Yeah. I don't know that story, so it may or may not be true.
I think it is. Well, let me know when you figure it out, but I think it was Diane Sawyer. And I think she puts in a lot of money all the time there. But I went to UK because, you know, I actually would have loved to have gone to, like, USC or UCLA because I always knew I wanted to be in television and film. And I didn't even want to do high school. Even elementary school, I just wanted to go to L.A. or New York. But
you
wanted
to just jump to the NBC.
I just wanted to go. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I was like, why do I have to go through this school? I already know what I want to do, you know. And I was a pretty good student, so it was like, come on, this is a waste of my time. Let me just get there, you know. But
all right, so you did it. You did it anyway.
I did UK. That was for mom and dad. That was for mom and dad. I did that for them. So. Yeah.
And made your way into the world.
Then here's kind of an interesting thing. When, you know, it's not easy to break into radio and TV. You know that.
Mm-hmm. It's harder now than it used to be.
Oh,
but
my gosh, you got that right. Somebody's got to just...
Well, you know, now you can just make your own. You can just create your own podcast.
Yeah, like everybody else in the world, yeah. You got some neighbors on there right now doing the same thing. This was kind of cool, though. It was senior year, and it was a radio class. Yeah, it was a radio performance class. I think I created it myself with the dean. I did a lot of that because they didn't actually have, you know, they have telecommunications at UK and communications, but they didn't really, they would let you create your own degree, I guess, because I'd have to go to the dean all the time and say, hey, I want more performance classes. What do I do here? What do I do there? And I would work with him, the dean, and as well as a teacher and a professor, and we would create a class for myself. One of them was in radio, And the final, believe it or not, the final was doing a 60-second spot, which if you do any type of radio or TV, you know, you can do 12 of those a day. But, you know, I had to do one and put in all the elements of sound. And
I had beginning radio at Western. So, I know that. I know how that works.
Well, what happened was I didn't have a studio to use because on campus, anybody could use the campus studio, so I couldn't finish my final. I didn't know what to do. However, the night before that I found out that there were no studios to use, me and this girl from the dorm had gone out to some dive bar or something. I don't even know what it was. But we met two guys there that kept bugging us, and they said they were in radio, and they said they did a morning show. Now, I don't know what you know about this, and you're probably not one of these guys, but, you know, we get the lines all the time. Oh, we're in radio, you know, so we're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So they gave
us a
car.
He's actually using that, right?
that's not impressive. The next day, I just said, you know what, I'm going to call these guys and see if they were for real, because I need a studio, and maybe they'll let me use their studio. Well, come to find out, they were for real. They were the morning guys, and they let me use their studio, and at the end of that 60-second spot, they hired me on to do overnights. This was in Lexington, Georgetown, Kentucky, at, WMGB, Georgetown, Lexington.
Okay.
Magic,
well, that's
103,
cool.
The always Magic 103, we called it.
Well, what a great start to your career. I'm interested in, and in case we run out of time, I want to go ahead and talk about it now.
Yeah.
You do this overnight show. You substitute for this overnight show nationally. You told me not to use the word paranormal to describe it.
That's true. Well, it's Coast to Coast AM.
Coast to Coast AM.
The
there you
biggest
go.
Talk night, you know, show on the planet, Coast to Coast. It used to be Art Bell. A lot of people know Art Bell. It's on midnight. It's on WHAS radio here, and it's been on forever. And now it's George Norrie, and George has had it longer than Art Bell had been on it before, I think now. I think, and he's really taken it to like over 620 affiliates across the U.S. I mean, and Guam and U.S.
The little bit I know about it, it was like all these nutcases calling in that they hear things or they see things or whatever. Is that what it is?
You sound like Terry Miners. He said the same thing to me. No, not nuts. We are the real McCoy. There are UFOs. There are Bigfoot. And there's a lot of them around Louisville and Kentucky, by the way. And, you know, you just, hey, anybody that knows, you give Rick Redding a phone call. You comment here and you let him know and you say you'll take him where he can see this kind of stuff.
I love it. If I ever see a ghost, I'll change my mind.
Hey,
but until I do.
Go to Waverly for that. But, hey, you want to go Bigfoot and we'll take you Bigfoot. You'll, when you see the footprint, when you see a footprint
so you,
in the woods, believe yeah. me, you're going to go, why are we here? Let's leave now.
So you take, on this show, you take all these calls from these, you know, these people that have these crazy stories, right? And,
great
and you
got to
kind of sort of believe them, right?
Well, I've been a part of that, so I know. I mean, you know, like, you know, it's interesting to talk about a subject that you enjoy, right? You got a lot more passion. And I love that I'm on Coast to Coast because I've experienced those things myself. And because of that, I know good questions to ask, but it's also, I love these people because they've seen the same thing I have. And when you see something that's not supposed
well, tell
to
me,
be...
Tell me, I just don't know. I don't get it. What one thing have you experienced? Tell me something you've experienced.
I can
that's sort of supernaturally.
Throw out a whole bunch of different things, like ghost related stuff, Bigfoot related stuff, UFO related stuff, remote viewing, that's really interesting as well. A lot of people that think the other stuff is just too across the line, they'll get into the remote viewing, but I mean, that's just as amazing. That's the psychic spies in the government. That was the real deal. Psychic spies. I can see what somebody's doing, past, present, or future.
Really?
Just using my mind. That's what the military did. And now
you can do that anytime, or you know, it's got to be something special.
No, you can do it. You can learn to do it.
Okay.
You can learn to do it. They can teach you. A lot of the guys that were in Project Stargate during the Cold War, they are now, you know, a lot of them are retiring to where they don't even teach it anymore, but there's a lot of them still teaching, you know, well, a handful of them. And if you take their course, they will teach you how to do it. And basically, here it is in a nutshell. Your conscious and your subconscious don't talk. Okay, your subconscious knows all. You know that intuition, that gut feeling that you have? That is truth. But guess what gets in the way your conscious up here. What Uncle
She's
Joe
pointing to her
said,
head.
And yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot. What Uncle Joe said when you're three, and Aunt Betty said when you're 12. You know, don't do this, or this is what's real, and this is what's real. You know, that was from their experiences and them trying to teach you not to do what they did. But your subconscious knows all truth. It's like the universal Google. And your head, though, gets in the way of what you've been taught along the way that's all been biased. Now, if you can get your conscious and your subconscious to talk, because they don't talk to each other, they're not really connected, what these guys do, they teach you how to connect that so that you can know truth at all time. Even space and time doesn't matter. You can go back and find your car keys. You can go back and check out
I did know a woman, and it was incredible. I had lost a watch for like 6 months, and I kid you not, she came over to this big house that I lived in and asked me three questions and went up to a box and pulled my watch out.
There you go.
So that's my experience.
That's her intuition.
Yeah,
there you go.
I said, I don't know. I think you know, it was planted or something. But you know, that's interesting. So
yeah,
anyway, so you've done a lot of different projects. Tell me about some of the things you've done in radio and TV.
Radio. I was actually here after the Lexington thing. I was living back, you know, back and forth, you know, from Lowell and Lexington. That drive got old, so I ended up working at EZ 107 here years back. When we were, like, you know, number one midday. And then I took off and was in San Antonio for a very short time, so short that I don't even want to talk about it. But lived in Sarasota, lived in Orlando, Florida, did radio throughout there, and then did television where I was doing sports with Speed Vision, and it was boat racing and car racing. So I was doing pit reporting, and everything was live. Every show I did was pretty much live. There were a couple that were live to tape, but even then, you know, it's kind of one take. So I kind of got the name One Take Willis, which I loved. But then I did like
there's
HSN.
There's other nicknames could be worse.
I know, that's right. But then I did like HSN and QVCs and infomercials and New Billy May, and all that was really fun. But, you know, it's just... I love the live stuff very much.
Yeah.
But a lot.
I hate to cut it short, but I want to get to why you're back in Louisville, because we're glad to have you.
Thank you.
You came to play golf with me about a year ago or something. But other than that, you're back in Louisville.
Back in Louisville, I left Florida at one point to follow QVC because I was working with QVC and they're outside of Philly. And, you know, I was always taught, hey, follow whoever you're working with at the time. And they said, hey, we want you guys local here that are on the air. So I shot up there, and I was in Philly for a while. Some of the things I was supposed to be doing was not happening as quick as it should have. And so I was like, golly, what am I going to do here? I love Philly. It was fun. It was exciting. Came back home. My mom's got Parkinson's, helping my mom with Parkinson's. She's doing great, by the way. You know, I put her picture up on my Facebook page a lot, and she's really doing wonderful. So, you know, I'm glad about that, and got some great doctors here in town. I don't know if Muhammad Ali had something to do with that or not, you know, because he had it as well, and I know some of the doctors had seen him. So she's doing great, and she tunes in when she can, and she's all into all that kind of cool paranormal stuff too. So, you know, now it's Coast to Coast AM that I do once a month or twice a month. I'm on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Okay.
So that'll be cool. And I'm talking to a guy locally here, Bishop James Long. You'll have to have him on your show because he's a bishop, but he also is an exorcist. He's done 27 exorcisms, real ones, and so you might like him on your show because he's a Louisvillian. And
you can get the demons out of the studio.
Yes, please. I feel them. And I'm also doing a YouTube channel, just now starting that. And I'd love for your listeners if they could check it out because I'm, you know, right now I'm building up subscribers.
All right. Well, we got to wrap this up. So tell people how they can get to your YouTube channel.
Blue Rock Talk with Connie
Talk.
Willis. Earth's Most Interesting Conversations.
Earth. You went all.
I went.
All
going,
global on us.
I'm going planetary, baby.
Wow, that's really. That's really wild. Well,
so we'll see how it goes.
It will be a good thing to check out. And Connie, thanks for being here on the guest segment. It was fun.
I appreciate that. I hope we get to go golfing.
I hope so too. When it warms up, because it's going to get cold this weekend.
Well, then let's go Bigfoot.
All right, we'll be back. I'll be back. Connie will go back to being a co-host. We'll wrap up the show in just a moment. All right, Connie, thank you very much for being the guest co-host and our guest on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thank you for being a part of your show. What are we, number 180?
Number 180. Consecutive. I've never took a week
that's
off.
That's an anniversary of some sort. Well, you haven't taken a week off.
Never.
What's wrong with you?
Just being able to say I never, you know, it's like I'm the Iron Man. Well, I've done the other things, but always managed to put together a show.
Oh, well, so, that's fun. Well, you know what? This isn't work. This is fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it happens because I have these great sponsors. Passport Health Plan is one sponsor, and my friends at Eye Care Institute on Story Avenue are my other sponsor. They make this show possible. They, you know, pay for a few things around here, and I really appreciate their support of the show.
That is important. Absolutely. Congratulations to those guys being a part of Rick's show, that's for sure.
Very good. And Connie, thank you for being on the show. Let's give you a chance to let people know how to find your cool stuff out there in the internets of the world.
Okay. You can go to my new YouTube channel. I'd love for you to subscribe because I'm going to start doing some really cool and interesting interviews as well. It's called Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis, and that is Earth's Most Interesting Conversations. We talk about some really cool things, and also, I'll be on WHAS Friday.
Coast to coast.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow. And
talking with the ghost and the paranormal people.
I don't know how much they want me to talk about that, but but I'll be on Coast to Coast, Christmas Eve, which is also on 840 WHAS, and Christmas Day night. We're going to be talking about creepy Christmas and Krampus and also the true story of what Christmas is all about. That's very extraordinary.
There you go. You'll talk about your favorite Christmas movies since I stumped you on this show with that one.
And by the way, I hope to do something with your all's food and critic show kind of thing because I did go to the CIA, Culinary Institute of America, lived in Napa for a year. So, you know, that's the Harvard of culinary school. So
wow.
I can talk with you about that, baby.
So you can cook.
I can do it. I don't like to tell a lot of people that because then that's it. Hey, would you come over for Thanksgiving or help us with Christmas dinner? No.
Well, that would be fun. So anyway, we got to wrap up the show. Very glad you could make it over here, Connie,
always
and
fun.
Glad to have you in Louisville, your hometown where you belong. And don't leave.
Well, I like Florida a lot. I like the beach.
Yeah, those are good places to visit.
They're even better to live.
All right, this show is produced at the Louisville.am studios. My good friend Dan Vonderheide is our producer, and you can catch my stuff at RustySatelliteShow.com, LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city for all kinds of great information and news about what's going on in town. And until I find two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week, I'll sign off.
We're going to be fighting for these types of interesting people, aren't we? I love
right.
it. We'll share
them.
You've got
Earth. I've only got Louisville to cover. So that will...
makes it easier.
You got plenty more opportunities than I do. But I have not run out yet of interesting people here in Louisville at some 180 shows, some 300-plus guests. And come back next week and see who I've got on Rusty Satellite Show number 181.
Bye, and thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.